Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors is now in session. It is March 4th, 9 a.m., and we are ready for the flag salute. Oh, and I see you. Would you read us the flag salute?
You know it?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Chaplain, please.
Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful to be part of a country that works toward freedom. It's not an easy thing, but as we come down to the level at which we live, God, give us energy, give us strength, give us vision for how we can work together. We so appreciate those who serve in our county day after day doing their jobs. And as the board meets today and twice each month, God, as they set a plan for the future, as they see the vision for this county, I pray, God, you give them good insight, give them wisdom and understanding of all that's going on. May the work relationships be what they need to be that would be an encouragement to those who follow and who serve. We give you thanks for everyone who serves in their particular area of expertise. And Father, we're truly grateful for what they do to make our lives better. And we give you thanks for all of these blessings in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All righty. I'm not seeing Supervisor Valenzuela. Do we know?
He is absent today.
Absent today. Thank you. Supervisor Howe?
Present.
Supervisor Harris?
Present.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Here.
And Supervisor Oak?
Present. I have four presentations from the public. Time slot.
Oops. Just got to make my little announcement real quick. Sorry.
Sorry.
The board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and County Service Area 3 and receives no additional compensation. Thank you.
Now, presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of this board. And do we have any comments?
I've received no blue cards.
No blue cards?
No,
none of them. Anything online?
No.
Hey, we've
been on. I have a public comment.
Yes.
So at our last meeting with regard to the, I'll call it the $800,000 contract, Sarah, with regard to the survey for the DESSA survey, I was mistaken that it's not done by the students. The 8-question survey is done by the teachers. So I wanted to clarify that. And secondly, I wanted to clarify, and I don't know if I can do this or not, but we're going to find out. So that funding mechanism is, I think, $75,000 a quarter for the entire school system within the county. It's done by the teachers. I still think, would underline that parents should be notified that, one, the surveys are taking place. But secondly, school districts get 68% of the property tax within the county. They're the highest end of property tax, and yet we're providing essentially a subsidy for these surveys through behavioral health. And it's problematic for me because we scrape the barrel trying to keep our house in order with 22% of the property tax revenue. But I don't understand why we're essentially subsidizing the district with, you know, they have a school tax, 2,000 in some places in the county, a 2,000 square foot home would be $10,000 in school tax. Just the tax before they even break ground. So I'm conveying, I guess, that if there's any way to withdraw my support and vote no on that, I'd like to consider that. And if I have to leave it alone, I know it was a 5-0, but after learning more about it, I don't know how to proceed, Council.
All right. So Natalie Reed, County Council. I would ask for this agenda that Supervisor Kotsub has made his comment if any member wanted to provide directions to Dr. Kolar to come back at a future meeting, they could do so, but I would ask that the board members and Dr. Kolar don't engage on something that's not on the agenda.
Can another board member make that directive, or does it need to come from me?
So all of them, I believe all board members were in support of the contract. You could ask that the matter of an addendum amending the contract come back. If there's a way that it can be remedied to address your concerns, or if you wanted the matter of the contract entirely to be reconsidered, I suppose the chair could ask that the matter be brought back.
Without discussion, correct?
It would just be asking Dr. Kolar to place that matter on a future agenda, and at that time the board can engage in discussions once it's agendized. Or you could just leave it at Supervisor Kotsub has made his public comment.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I'm curious too, just for point of order.
I make a motion to bring that back.
It would just be direction to Dr. Kolar to bring the matter of the contract back to the board for discussion.
That would be my motion.
It's just direction.
Since it seems like we want to have that discussion, I will
direct
that Dr. Kolar bring back in the future.
I will do that. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to consent.
B.
B as in boy.
B as in boy.
Thank you.
I'd like 5C and 5F.
And F is in Frank.
Frank.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, if there's no other
motion to approve the balance of the consent agenda.
Sorry.
Okay, call for vote.
Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Oakley?
Aye.
Good morning, Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. I'm here to answer any questions on item.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't have any questions. I'd just like to draw attention to the monumental effort it took to put this together. Most people don't know. Most people don't know how voluminous this plan is. And what the agencies are attempting to do at this point to revise something that has been in place since 1993, has been beat up in the courts for almost 30 years. And the task at hand, which this is also related to the litigation that's going on over critical habitat, from the standpoint that the Biden administration changed the Northwest Forest Plan completely when it expanded the LSR network, reserve network for owls, over the entire public land base. I think it's illegal myself. I think the revision, though, you know, we did an excellent job, you did an excellent job, and thank Carolyn. Thank you for me too.
Yes.
The plan falls way short of being able to protect my communities because of the reserve networks that don't allow adequate fields to work in those zones. Excuse me. I got dragged over this morning. Anyway, that's what I want to do. I want to thank you personally for all your hard work.
Thank you, I appreciate that. And yes, our contractor, Carolyn Knapper, She provided the initial draft, and she did a very deep dive into the Northwest Forest Plan Amendment. And just to clarify, since I did get a couple of phone calls yesterday, with your approval today, there will be some final edits to this letter. Ms. Knapper is reviewing the draft that I sent over to her, and then we will have assignments submitted by the current deadline. So thank you.
Just one more comment, quick, for the audience to know that the Northwest Forest Plan, though it governs our national forest management here in this county, it also includes every piece of public land from the Canadian border to Willows, California, on the West Coast.
Alrighty, Supervisor Haupt?
Yes.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsef, excuse me, and Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Thank you.
Moving on to IMF.
C.
C. My goodness.
That was in trouble.
Good morning, Teresa Johnson, County Librarian.
Good morning. I support this, but I guess my question is, why is the county, I guess, the grant holder versus the library itself?
It seems that they wanted an official official representative, and they needed the county of Siskiyou, since I'm the county librarian, mm-hmm. and they want it to go through me.
Okay. And so if there's any payback for the grant because it wasn't complied with, will that come to the county? And the general funder, will that be put on the to the Lake Library itself?
Well, since I will be, excuse me, my throat's kind of weird too. I will be facilitating the spending of all of it, and it will be going to the county. I will be paying attention to the funds, and I'm okay. assuming that it will probably be like a contract where the funds are in a separate area.
Okay.
And
okay. All right.
Question.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsef?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Now I
So, if I'm reading this correctly, it's an additional $600,000 for tobacco control program. Is that correct?
Correct.
Does the tobacco control program deal with just tobacco, or do they deal with vaping? Do they deal with drugs? Do they deal with everything that, you know, it seems to be hitting our population versus just tobacco? And I don't mean to make tobacco old news, but it kind of is because there's so many new things that are taking place at that. I want to be sure that that's getting targeted and not just a funding mechanism.
Sarah Collard, Health and Human Services, yes. They focus primarily on tobacco and vaping, which is the, sort of the big new issue there.
Right.
Behavioral health does more of the opioids and, you know, other types of drugs, but they all work collaboratively with the schools as well. So the whole spectrum is covered.
And so is this just in schools, or is it countywide?
It's countywide.
It is countywide, okay. So I'm going to touch on this just a little bit. So for the programs that you would provide to a school, does the school share cost in that at all, or is it just provided through this grant?
So the schools,
see where I'm headed?
The schools have their own tobacco prevention staff member, so we work in collaboration with that person.
Okay, so we're not really subsidizing, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then lastly, how much of the dollars actually get, I guess, to preventative measure versus just staffing?
That piece I'm going to have to get back to you on. I believe the majority is in the staffing, right, because the majority of all funding is in staffing, but I will get back.
And within that staffing, is when the grant goes away, does that staffing go away as well, or is it something that is financed from a different mechanism?
Public health is receives some realignment in other types of funding that's ongoing. However, the majority of the work that they do is grant funded. So it sort of depends, right? If another grant comes along that can fund that position and it's appropriate, we try and move people into other grants. But if that grant ends, if there's no other grant, that position would go away. We don't typically fund staff at public health, using realignment other than, the programs that they're already in. They sort of move from grant to grant as new grants become available.
Okay. I'm just becoming more, concerned about grants overall, because there's a payback at a point if we do something wrong. And it's always hit the general fund when that occurs because the money's already been spent down. So I'm paying, a little more attention to grants versus, what you've seen me do in the past. So just be aware of that. I just don't want the general fund to get saddled with essentially a grant-mandated mechanism that we have to carry on with on our own.
Understood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a motion.
Is this time sensitive?
If you'd like to push it out, I'm sure.
Well, if you'll get back on the
other piece, okay.
That's what I would need. So,
okay.
I don't know if it's time sensitive. I get it, but if it is something, I don't know, it doesn't look like, if it's something, would you be able to get it today, that info, or not?
Yes, I'll get it today.
Okay.
I can probably get it
off.
In just a couple minutes.
Okay, so maybe just hold off.
Sure.
Okay.
And we'll come back
Thank
to this.
Okay.
Moving on to departmental requests, item 6, item A. County Administration, discussion, direction, and possible action for fiscal year 24-25 mid-year budget review and fiscal year 25-26 budget principles and budget calendar.
Good morning. Sherry Lawson, Deputy County Administrator, Chief Fiscal Officer, here before you today to share the results of our 24-25 mid-year budget review and to ask that you approve our 25-26 budget principles, which remain unchanged from this year, and to approve our 25-26 budget calendar. So this year, as part of our mid-year budget process, typically in the past, we have asked departments to evaluate their expenditures and their revenues that are either over or under 50%. This year, we chose to do something a little different, and we asked departments to do 6/30 year-to-date projections. It's a new requirement for mid-year, but it's not something that fiscal staff is unfamiliar with. It's something they do every recommended budget. Despite emphasizing the importance of the accuracy of these projections, knowing that they're 6 months out, I had a lot of departments that gave me what I felt like were unrealistic forecasts. It appeared that some departments just copied and pasted their adjusted budget into their 6/30 year-to-date projections. Because of that, I requested that several departments redo their projections because I just know that's not realistic. We've never spent 100% of our salaries and benefits and 100% of our expenditures. The departments that I asked to redo their projections were responsive. And so based on the revised projections, the good news is that we're anticipating the general fund deficit for June 30, 2025 to be reduced significantly over what it was that adopted. So during adopted budget, we projected about a $2.7 million general fund deficit. Now, based on the revisions of the projections provided by departments, it's about $588,000. So pretty significant. Not surprising. There were some key contributing factors to the reduction. One of the big ones being savings in salaries and benefits, and that's just simply from unfilled positions and vacancies. A key consideration for the decline in expenditures and in closing the gap was from unspent professional and specialized services. So those are going to be contracts that have been spent, that we're still working on, that maybe will roll into next year. So not that those funds won't be spent, but they're not being projected to be spent by the end of this year. And as you're aware, we created a janitorial department this year, and they are projecting to spend quite a bit less than what we had projected. So that was good news. So all in all, no big surprises with the general fund. Very happy with the way that it turned out. I'm hopeful, and I don't expect big swings moving into recommended budget, which we will be rolling out on March 17th. So we're just keep our finger on the pulse, keep doing what we're doing, but on the whole, general fund is in a good spot right now. I do want to say we do still have a deficit. We are still using one-time funds to balance that, but not as much as we had anticipated adopted. So that's good news. Non-general fund budgets, as you are aware, they receive money through specific revenue streams and they're earmarked for particular purposes or activities. They operate independently with their own fund balances, which we monitor. No non-general fund departments that were really a cause for concern. We have some that have had larger expenditures this year, one particularly being transfer stations because we took on county operations. And so they've had some upfront big expenditures for fixed assets and for personnel, but we expect that cost to recover and stabilize as we collect gate fees and that sort of thing. One fund we really are keeping an eye on is risk management, simply because we're facing an unprecedented number of lawsuits. That's driving up the cost for legal defense, and it's driving up our risk management costs. And in addition to the legal challenges that we're facing, we have retained a law firm to help us with all of our personnel matters. So anytime there is a personnel matter that we need legal advice on, we work with an outside attorney firm to help guide us and make sure that we're staying within the confines of the California state law. Another contributing factor to the increase in risk management is the continual rise in our prison coverage costs. This year, general liability was $2.2 million. I don't have projections from PRISM for what they're going to be next year. I assume they're going to be greater. I don't know what that figure is going to be, but I can't imagine it's going to be less than $2.2 million. As you're aware, risk management is an internal service fund, so as those costs rise in risk management, those costs get passed along to other departments, and then their budget costs increase. We're looking at ways that we can kind of be proactive in keeping these costs down. We're having conversations with departments about, you know, mitigating risk, and if you see something that raises a concern, bring it to our attention so we can maybe help step in and prevent something that could be a bigger problem. We may look at our PRISM coverage policies to see if there's any way we can have some savings there, but it is something we're being proactive about, but it is also something that I want the board to be aware of. While our local finances are stable, I would like the board to remain mindful of the broader state and federal budgets. California's budget faces uncertainty. The January budget, when it was released, had no considerations for the LA wildfires, so we don't know what the May revise will look like. If the state loses federal funding, that's going to leave a big hole in the state's budget and a gap that they will have to fill in some way. These looming cuts could have serious downstream effects, in particular with our health and human services departments. So again, despite it's just something the board should be mindful of, with it. We're uncertain of what the state and the federal budget is going to look like moving forward into the next years. Doom and gloom, but despite the external risks, I do want to emphasize that the county's current fiscal health is solid. We're taking proactive measures. We're monitoring fund balances. We're monitoring departments. We're keeping in touch. And I think because of that, because of our forecasting, it's placed us in a strong position. So with that, lastly, I would like to thank Jeff Hain, our assistant auditor controller. He helped me tremendously during mid-year budget process and looking at spreadsheets and making sure things were sent out to departments. And he's been an incredible colleague to bounce ideas off of. And he sees things that sometimes I don't. So I would just like to give a special thanks to him. And with that, I'll turn it over to you for questions, comments, or concerns.
Question?
Yes, ma'am.
Fire away.
I appreciate all the good work you do, and I especially appreciate the work on the expenditure end, but I want to focus a little on the revenue end.
Sure.
Some things I'd like to see, and maybe it's part of the budget package that comes forward, maybe it's a different venue, but for years I've heard that the county had a general fund
funds making up the difference in investments on CalPERS retirements. The shortfalls that the state has. You know what I'm talking about?
Angela Davis, County Administrator. Are you referring to OPEB? Other post-employment benefits?
The state makes a projection on their investments, and we make up a shortfall. I'd kind of like to know what that is.
Okay.
As part of the budget. I've asked a couple of times of the tax collector and of the assessor's office, how much money in 25% tax receipts are receiving off public lands, and he can't tell me. That's alarming to me. And that'll be part of his budget. He also could not tell me the California yield tax is coming back to the county. That's extremely alarming to me, because those are revenues due to the county, and we need to be keeping track of those. I'd also like to know, recently learned there's additional TOT tax that could be collected in the county. We can talk about that later, but I need to know, I guess, what the process is of enforcement on TOT, particularly in my district, with some things I think that are kind of skating by. The board was aware, as we went through all of the throes of dam removal, that there would be a tax loss associated that came to the county. It was distributed through the general fund and back through the service districts. I'd like to know what that loss is. Because now we're experiencing it. Before it was a projection, it was all over the board. I think we probably should know now. And then finally, I know that the county's tracking this, but I'd like to see a summary of the fire expenditures to the county as a response to wildfire as part of our budget, because it's an important assessment that needs to be used in larger political arenas. Give me about 10 minutes for your book, something else.
Sure. You know where to find me.
Thank you.
A couple things. One, I'm concerned on the federal and state side. Budget-wise, I think we need to pay attention to that. I don't think it's going to be status quo, even for counties. There's a report out this morning, I think, of eight cities and districts that are facing insolvency. Big cities. So we probably should be paying attention to that and adjusting accordingly, hopefully. I know that during the dam removal process, we were tracking the cost of the county was out of pocket. I need to know that number for budgeting as well, and if we're going to be able to, I guess, propose to whatever entity, whether it's a two states or the KRC, I don't know where, but there shouldn't have been any cost that the county bore out of pocket. We should be reimbursed for that, for the work that our staff do. With regard to the personnel and the lawsuits that we face, I think a while back we had talked about personnel hiring and terminations, all of that going through personnel by all departments and not individually by department.
Yeah.
Is that in place yet?
Mm-hmm.
And all the departments are cooperating with that, is that correct? Perfect, thank you. And I guess lastly, I know we have one-time funds that are out there. I'd rather save them for a rainy day after we get through this year. I'm just a bit nervous about what we're going to anticipate. And I would hope that, you know, to the departments, that while I know each one is valuable to the services that the county provides, while you were anticipating what your budgets are going to look for this next year, I would ask that the department all submit some form of a revenue generator that can happen, not a taxing generator, a revenue generator, because that's what offsets the cost of doing business for the county. We emphasize more on expenditure and keeping things, you know, services as is, but I'd like to start to see some ideas about how do we, you know, bump the revenue up with what we have. Now, I will give one example. The seedling farm out at Gazelle is a $30 million project that now will bring in roughly $300,000 a year to the property tax, rating, but 22% of that comes to the county. So that's, you know, what, roughly 122, about 65,000 a year. It's things like that that actually bump our revenue, and we didn't have to tax anybody. It was already there. So I'm looking for those venues that help us get across the finish line. And thank you all for the great work you do.
And I agree with that, too, and I know that we've had conversations with departments, and we have been encouraging departments to look at the fee schedules where we can increase those revenues.
And I think it should be part of the guiding principle that we want revenue-generating prospects. And what can they advise? Thank you.
I just have one quick question. Of the one-time funds to cover the deficit, where are those one-time funds coming from?
So those are federal funds that were sent to the county 2 years ago. There were conversations with Warren that we would use those funds for larger projects and, in this case, to make sure that we're able to retain our staff and balance the budget.
So with the 588,000, mm-hmm. what does that leave us?
$10 million.
Okay. Thank you.
You need a motion on this, is that correct?
Yes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Okra?
Aye.
Through the chair, Angela Davis, County Administrator, we would be making some changes to the budget principles to add the revenue generator. So it would be with changes as requested by. Chair.
Including those changes?
Yes, okay. Correct.
Thank you. Moving on to item B, Sheriff discussion direction of possible action on either request to issue payment to the state of California in the amount of $100,000 in order to resume ownership of needed voting control equipment. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning. Sheriff Jeremiah LaRue. So the item before you is the request is to approve that we issue a payment to the state in the amount of $100,000, which would come from funds that come from the state that are not general fund. So essentially what happened in 2021, we applied for a grant for a boat, much needed boat. Part of the application required that we list our inventory. We listed the three boats that we have on inventory. We failed to mention a fourth boat, and the reason we didn't put the fourth boat down is because it's a ginormous seafaring boat that we're trying to get rid of, either to a neighboring county that they can utilize it for. So we did a site inspection, or the state came up and did a site inspection, noticed that we have this boat, and then indicated that they believed that we were inaccurate with our numbers, and they wanted to basically pull the grant back. However, they had already issued the check to us, and we had the boat built and paid for. And so the fix is to utilize the funds that we have that are discretionary, that are the sheriff's discretion, to pay back the state for the boat. Otherwise, we have to give the boat back. It's been a little bit difficult, I will say, working with the state on many levels, particularly this one. I think it's a little unreasonable. We had many discussions about we were trying to be transparent and improve the program. We met face-to-face. However, they indicated that it was sort of it didn't really matter. We should have put all four boats down, and we failed to do so. So it was, you could say, an oversight, but we had intended to get rid of that fourth boat. So really, they're trying to use the funds from our discretionary account to reimburse the state in order to keep the boat so we don't have to give them back.
Any questions?
Yeah.
You want to go first? Speak up.
I'm confused. It sounds like we're paying for the boat twice. We already paid for the boat, and now we're going to reimburse the state for paying for the boat?
Yes. So, well, hopefully we're not paying more twice. So we requested we're repaying the grant. So the general fund was probably originally where we purchased the boat with in anticipation of the state giving us money, which they did, but now they want their money back because of the inaccurate numbers. And so they want the boat back or the money back, and we need this boat because we're using it for dive, search and rescue. And we already have it. It was built, customized for us. And I think the only thing to do is to use our discretionary funds to pay for it. So it's no cost to the general fund other than the original use of it. So we're paying back the grant instead of giving it back to the state.
Okay. And sell the other boat? You going to sell the big boat?
We can't sell the big boat.
Oh, jeez.
We were trying to transfer it to another entity, but we acquired it from another agency, but it's meant for the ocean.
Yeah.
It's big, and we can't really utilize it like we'd like.
Why do we have it?
Sheriff wanted it. Not you, the other sheriff.
Yeah, previous administration. I mean, it is cool, for all intents and purposes. It's just to launch it and to get it back on the trailer is a task. It's meant to sit out somewhere like at a marina.
We don't have a truck big enough to pull it.
And it was likely free, which doesn't mean it's always good to take, but that's probably why we got it.
I think it was a grant.
It's a nice boat. Yeah.
So the board questioned the boat at the time, but we got behind Sheriff Logan to get the yacht, I call it.
Yes.
Because I looked at it, we took a tour and just like, where in the heck are we going to float this one? Nowhere. Besides, at that time, they didn't even have a truck to pull it.
Right.
And it required a different licensing for pulling it because of how big it was. All that said, give them that boat back. Why can't we do that?
We've been trying to give that boat back.
No. Give that boat back in place of this for the grant payback. Then you get rid of your boat, you got the payback without using any discretionary funds, and we're all good.
I agree with that. That was actually discussed. They did not care to entertain that idea. I was disappointed in the way they responded. Even their letter was just...
I get where they're coming from. It was a grant with certain criteria. We didn't meet the grant, and this is how we get grant paybacks, right? I'd still make a pitch for, hey, we'll give you this other boat back because we can't use it. And if you go back, I think it was a grant as well. And why we ordered such a, because it was a custom-made boat as well. And I don't know if it takes something, pressure from the board and pressure politically for our legislators in Sacramento. It would only seem fair.
I know there's
or reasonable.
I believe there's a deadline for this. Is that correct? March 9th, maybe?
It's
March 9th. A consideration, I'm just throwing this out here, but I don't know if it's something for council to discuss with the state. I don't know at what level that needs to be. I think I would be fine with a little pushback on this, only because it seems unreasonable the way that they're handling this. But where it is currently, I'm just saying, we are okay with using the funds that are designed to enhance the agency to purchase the boat if we have to, because I don't want that to be a burden on the general fund for an error that we made. Although we try to correct that and explain it, it's not getting anywhere with the people in position. And according to, I don't know if you want to ask questions, but finances with. I guess we have to, by March 9th, have 19th? Oh, we have a little time, I guess, so.
We need to get on the 18th?
Correct. I won't have to check up by then.
Getting payment by the 19th would be difficult if a meeting was on the 18th, but I don't know if there's other options, but I'm open.
And where's the pool of money coming from?
It's the AB 443 money, which is the rural county sheriff funds that come from the state.
What would you normally do with that money?
First year, we've kind of had it in a discretionary account, so it's designed in legislation for enhancing the agency at the discretion of the sheriff. So it would fit that criteria. I would feel comfortable with that if that's the way we have to go. If there's time to entertain other options or have discussions with the state, I'm certainly open to that. I just don't want to run into that hard deadline and have a... I guess they could repossess the boat. Worst case.
Well, it would certainly be a wonderful idea to be able to utilize the big boat somewhere else that could actually use it instead of having it sit here.
Oh, yes.
And be underutilized or unutilized.
Right.
And take it to another county on the coast or somewhere where it can be useful. Seems like a great thing to do.
Yeah, even Del Norte, for example.
Exactly.
I had approached them, and they were all excited about it, and we were trying to connect. The way it works is it has to go back to the state, and then they make the decision. And I have no idea where that is in the process.
Is it a matter of just convincing them, or is it a matter that apparently they've seen it?
Right? They have seen it, yes. They know we have it, I mean, through the previous application, but also just the on-site visit.
It seems like we need to try to push that some other way, maybe through a different avenue or person, and whether it's, like, instead of, maybe we don't have to do the trade, but at least try to figure out a way to unload the boat.
So... Courtney Greenlee, who's finance with me, I think she has an answer to that with some final stages if you want to have to answer that within your way.
Courtney Greenlee, Administrative Services Manager for the Sheriff's Office. So in the process of getting the boat back to the state, there is a process we have to go through with the boat inspector assigned to our district. We are in final stages of compiling all that information that they have requested to send over. I don't know what the timeline is following the distribution of that information to them, but the state found us to be not only underutilizing the big boat, but in order for us to move on with future requests, it was their advisement to also get rid of anything that we don't utilize. And so the site visit took place because we wanted to streamline all of our vessels and trailers, which would reduce auto serve costs and other program costs that don't necessarily need to be billed to the grant in lieu of maybe time or other supplies needed. So it was an effort to reduce costs of the overall water safety program that just kind of snowballed into other topics, which brought up our new equipment grant. We have been trying to get rid of this boat, and it would not surprise me if other sergeants that oversaw this program in the past and during the application were trying to get rid of the large boat. But I believe that that process will be complete hopefully soon.
So what's the time frame for your department to finalize that paperwork to get back to the state?
We recently just finished collecting all of the necessary information. We just have to give it to the boat inspector and the representative that oversees the state program. I believe she would be the one that would appoint the boat to another agency.
So what's the time frame for you to get that paperwork back to the state?
I could do it today or by the end of the week. We just recently grabbed the last piece of information.
Can you report back to us and let us know that that's completed so we know that the process is in?
Yeah, I can give you an update on and what the state's like timeline is on that.
That would be super.
Also, to bring clarification on how the boat was paid for, It was a reimbursement grant, so general fund fronted the overall cost of the boat, and then general fund received the reimbursement from the grant. So the determination of the, I guess the termination letter for the grant either says that we provide the boat back to the state, and then they would credit us any difference that general fund had paid into it, or we reimburse the grant. I hope that clarifies. So we're not paying for it.
I have a simple question, but I think it just answered it. When we buy a boat with a grant, who has the title?
So the title is with the county, but the state is the lien holder. When state funds are utilized. Eventually, with most grants, as equipment ages, the county would resume ownership, most likely, of that boat over time. And that's pretty standard.
Once it falls apart.
Once it gets to a certain once it gets below a certain value threshold, yes.
Well, I don't know, according to IRS, that certain property tax keeps going up on boats because they go up in value as the longer you have them. So I think the state needs to pay us back some money when we give it to our.
What condition is the big boat in?
It's in great condition.
Still basically brand new.
It has very low alleys.
Is it still wrapped up?
No.
We've taken it out.
Okay.
It's just a beast. We've taken it to Siskiyou. We've used it on several operations for dive operations, search and rescue. But it has been used. Just it's underutilized. It's massive. Right. It belongs in the ocean.
So, yeah, we would love to keep track of this and see if there's a way we can actually dispose of the boat and maybe try to get some compensation for it, at least get rid of it so it's not a liability for us. And
agreed.
Keep moving forward with the other boat.
I'm more inclined to go for asking the state and working our way through the political process to let it be the big boat that they take back in payment for that. I don't know what the value of it is, but I would imagine it's got to be close to that, because I think that thing costs us $75,000 or more when we bought it originally.
I believe the 2012 Riverhawk is state-owned, so that whatever we pay must have been reimbursed by the state.
So it's a grant boat too?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I could verify that, but I'm pretty confident that all boats on our fleet are state-owned.
Are state-owned.
Or
so, and that, I guess that's where I'm headed, is if they're all state-owned, somehow, if there's some pressure that we can say, hey, look, we got to unload this thing anyway, or pay back this size grant, is there some mechanism here that we can offset it with the big boat? I mean, that's worth a shot to me, because then you have $100,000 in your, I'll call it discretionary funding, to be used elsewhere. You know, I'm not saying the boat isn't valuable. I'm just saying there's got to be a way to make this thing work without a loss to the county.
So a question, and I don't know if this is for me to question, but as far as I know what the recommended motion is there a way that we try to either speak with the state or actually negotiate, but then there has to be a debt or a cutoff that we have to submit a check. So I don't know how that would be, if it needs to be amended or something, as far as the proposal that I have and the recommended motion, but there might be a time period that we could work on that. I agree with you. I mean, I'd love to try to see if we can do something with that boat, maybe as a combination of things, but I know that they've indicated that they have to receive payment by the 19th. Maybe that could change as well, but it's not what I currently requested.
Yes.
Okay, so for me, worst case scenario is a repossession of the boat, correct? That's absolute worst case scenario?
Yes.
Okay, so we have $100,000. What does the boat cost us?
$118,000.
So, if we pay this back, the boat title is going to still remain with the lien holder on it.
Yeah.
or it would fall off?
Yeah, it would become the counties.
I mean, I'm kind of looking at, you know, either way, if there's worst case scenario that they're going to repossess it, let's go through the diplomatic process, try to come to a resolve. If it doesn't, then they can take the boat back and we can use your $100,000 and get a boat.
It took 3 years to build this boat.
Ah, of course it did.
That is true, yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like,
I do. Well, that's why I wanted if there's a cutoff date or something, that would be appropriate. For what that looks like, or what channels we need to utilize.
We modify the motion to allow negotiation with a cutoff in the negotiation, whatever the date is.
That's kind of where I was headed. Was, do you have any idea if you have leverage with the state and how long that might take?
Our window of reimbursement to the state was 90 days, and this is the quickest that the county would approve us to use the funds allocated on the transfer to get to a meeting. So I believe the state would probably be satisfied with a copy of a check number, knowing that it's on its way prior to the March 19th. But the 90-day deadline, I believe, is within grant terms. So we could request that. I don't know if it would be approved or denied. If we brought it to the next meeting, we would just need the state to understand or authorize that whatever decision is made by the board on March 18th, that we could relay that by the end of the business day, but I won't have anything in writing because the minutes won't be prepared by then and I won't have a resolution stamped, so that would be up to you guys.
What is, what happens if you don't do anything by the 19th?
I believe that I'm assuming that they would take ownership of it. I don't know what that process looks like because we've never gone through it before. I know that we intend to get rid of the large boat, and the new boat has always been intended to be the new dive rescue boat and assistance to search and rescue.
What's
so,
the size difference? This was the same pitch we got on the other boat, so I'm not trying to.
Oh, sure.
I can already be built, and we went for it, and yet it was too big. So what's
What I can tell you is we've already used it multiple times, and everybody that's driven it has, said that it will work in all of our bodies of water. It'll take over as a new dive boat. The other boat, when we did get it, it was immediately, we shouldn't have this boat. So there hasn't been any of that. It was designed specifically by our folks for what they needed, and so. I recognize that. It's not the same circumstances, I would say. It will work, and it is appropriate for all the bodies of water. It's pretty cool.
You don't know the size?
I'm not sure about how large the river pocket is.
Exact dimension? I don't have that with me.
I think the new one is 22, or it might be in your pocket.
I can get the information to you.
No,
that's about
it. I've never done that, so I'm trying to be sure we don't do it again.
I have it right here. Okay. It's a 2023 Rogue Jet 22-foot fast water boat with a Raptor engine.
And I think the big boat's what? 30-plus? Might even be 40-foot?
Maybe.
It's big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wishes of the board.
I would almost say it was negotiated because it's kind of ridiculous.
Just switch the license plate.
Supervisor comes
up. Well, the state plays the dirty hand all the time, so I know we're in error.
But we don't.
Sorry. Can't help.
Well, go ahead.
Can we modify the motion?
Yeah, sure. Make it whatever you want.
I mean, if we knew the date, I'd make a motion to allow you to negotiate and us to negotiate, put some pressure with a cutoff date of that, and then
successful repair.
I'll second that.
It's kind of a messy motion.
The cutoff date was like the 15th. That would give it enough time to be back here as well on the 18th. And I would think we'd know sooner than that. I think we'd know within 10 days.
Well, I would add to this, and I don't know this, but I'll just throw it out there. I mean, they didn't receive the check on the 19th. I mean, they're in government as well.
Yeah, they do.
Exactly.
I think we have past due property tax from the state that they just send us a pink slip.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, I don't.
That might be another offset. That's
eight
going
times
down.
The value of the boat.
Yeah. I know we. I'm not trying to say we didn't err. I did that. I'm just trying to look for a way to make this more equitable.
And I appreciate that. I think the boat that we did not mention, like I said, it wasn't intentional to hide what we have. It was just that our intent was we're not using that boat. And so I wish they were more reasonable, but maybe that can be effective in future discussions. We can try, and then they can get the check late, worst case, I suppose. Question would be, is this something involving council, or is it just you want me as sheriff to negotiate with the state? Do we want to rope any of that into it, or how would you like me to proceed with that?
I think we can contact our legislators and say, hey, this is a problem we have. What can we do? Is there any room for a compromise here or not? And we'll know pretty darn quick.
That's the way I'd like to go with it.
Let's try it.
Never.
So
I like your motion.
The motion they did was a second. What was it again?
It was to let them negotiate by a certain date.
Okay.
And then if it fails, we'll have to make a plan.
Did we have a date specific to negotiate by?
Through the chair, Angela Davis, County Administrator. March 10th is the board deadline date for items to be heard on the 18th. So
that Monday before, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. So if we say Monday the 10th, if there's no movement or there's no agreement, then it would come back to the board to report on that there was no movement. And then through the conversations that are being had, that notifying the state that if we aren't reaching an agreeable end, that the payment would then have to go back to the board on the 18th to approve that payment. So it would probably be, late, but at least they know that we have options.
Question. Can we run the negotiation through the 15th just to make sure that on the 10th we have it on the agenda?
I got a question. How about we just continue this item in particular to the 18th?
That would absolutely work as well. That's already the easiest route, and then that way,
that saves creating another one.
But with the direction to the department to negotiate with the board's assistance in negotiating with state partners of reaching an agreement, and then reporting back on the 18th the findings.
I withdraw my motion.
Okay.
So continue this item to the 3/18 meeting with direction to the sheriff to negotiate, and if unsuccessful, or at least report back on the 18th where we're at.
Correct.
That sound right?
That sounds good.
Okay. So you know what your orders are.
Yes.
Got it?
Negotiate.
And is that as a motion or more direction?
It's just direction.
I think it's direction since we're continuing this item. I just like to keep it as clean as possible so I can know as long as the department is understanding. Yeah?
Okay.
Crystal clear.
Crystal clear.
We need to decide who on the board, if there's going to be board members in on this negotiation, who's going to do that. I'm willing. I just want to make sure that we're not, four of us aren't in it. So then we'll be in trouble on that front.
I don't think they do.
I just will need info from you about who to contact, and then I'll go to work on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, would it be possible just take a couple minute break before
Absolutely.
We get into a bigger item?
Oh, take a break.
Thank you.
We'll be back in 10.